Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show Summer Fun Edition. I am Jeff Gammon. I'm your interim host, and it's an intimate show this week because...
Oh. Oops. That was too loud. Sorry, I forgot to put on my music and I had to add it.
It's okay. You know, we got a taste of the music, and that's better than no music at all, right?
That is true. Everything is better with music, right?
There we go. and speaking of everything being better, Patrice, it's you and me for the show today. How are you?
That's the best, right? Like, the best ever. No, that's not true. Like, I miss the others. Like, I wish they were here. So, unfortunately, they couldn't make it, so...
Yeah, it would have been great to have
everyone
else.
As long as we're here, it's all good.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show, just the two of us.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. No, I'm doing good. Very, very, very stressed and a lot of work. And I just came back from a very late work meeting. But I had like double bookings all day, like two meetings at the same time, which is always great.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm good. I'm very much very much looking forward to Friday and to the weekend. And it is a long weekend here. Don't ask
excellent.
Me what the public holiday on Monday is, because I couldn't tell you. Probably some religious thing, because that's a safe bet here. But I couldn't tell you. I just know I get a full weekend of sleep. Like 3 days of sleep. So I'll sleep probably 3 days. No.
Let's call it St. Patrice Day. Although now I have to ask, because I don't actually know. Can saints be any gender?
I think so. Yeah, what was it? Mother, what was her name?
Mother Teresa? Mother Teresa was sainted?
Yeah. I think she was sainted. I might be wrong.
Well, regardless, I declare sainthood to be a gender-free zone. Therefore, the holiday this weekend is St. Patrice Day.
Okay, I'll take it. I mean, there's also St. Patrick's Day, so now I got two. I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, Patrick and Patrice are related, so I get two. One in the winter, one in the summer. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, I think that's great. Yeah. Yes. Nice. Throw in a birthday as well, and now we have three Patrice Days.
It's me and you and Jeff are silent. What? I don't know. Ben in the chat is saying something about being silent. I think he just forgot to unmute.
That could be.
Yes, Ben, unmute. That helps. Anyway, Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been a busy week for me as well, although I don't have the luxury of being able to say that that people are getting three-day weekends to celebrate my sainthood.
You should just move over here and then you can have that too.
You know, there are times where I seriously think about whether it would actually be better to move over to Europe, because we live in crazy times.
It would be. I think so, it would actually be better. I have some people you could talk to. Some Americans who moved to Vienna. So.
And I do know people that moved to Holland.
Mm-hmm.
And they're quite
Amsterdam,
happy.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, Amsterdam. Yeah.
Mm, that's where most Americans end up. Like, they're like, oh, I'm moving to Amsterdam. That's the thing.
Yeah. Well, they did ultimately move outside of Amsterdam. Mm. So they're still in the area. But they decided they wanted something a little more relaxed than the inner city Amsterdam life.
Yeah.
Which I can appreciate.
We've seen a lot of Americans and a lot of Brits like moving to Europe, I think, for very obvious reasons. By the way, hi to the Democrats abroad, the Vienna chapter or Austria chapter.
Oh, awesome, nice. So there's even a club.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole big club, and Vienna is very active. So.
Oh, that's
highly
that's
recommended.
Awesome. And I would love to experience Vienna.
Yeah, get on it. I can only recommend it right now.
Okay, awesome. I do have to take care of my trip to San Diego in September 1st.
Yeah. Doable, right?
Yeah.
And then after that, you get on.
And then I'll get onto it. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you have connections. Like, you know quite a few people in Europe already, so shouldn't
I do.
Like, that should help.
Yeah. I have friends all over Europe, all over the UK. I am lucky enough to be able to say that I genuinely have friends all over the world.
Yeah, me too. I really like that. That's one of the cool things. Ben is saying he'll come over and sleep on my couch and eat all my food. I have literally two empty rooms here that you could live in. Like,
so Ben, one for you, one for me.
Exactly. Perfect. Like, and I have a big fridge, so that's not a problem.
And Ben is also pointing out.
Yeah, and the supermarkets are like walking distance, like 3 minutes.
Oh, great.
Walking. You can actually walk places.
See, that's
without getting
wonderful.
Hit or shot at.
Even better. Almost unimaginable for me.
I know.
Yeah, and Ben says that Europe is open to my pants-free lifestyle.
I think that would fly here.
There you go. Patrice, I mentioned at the top of the show that we're doing Summer Fun Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And since you came up with the idea, do you want to tell people what it is that we're doing today?
Oh, yeah. And I totally stole that idea from Relay FM. But as you know, good artists copy, great artists steal. And in that sense, I didn't just copy it. I stole it and made it our own. And yeah, we're like, because summer, there's nothing going on literally in the news. Like, it's dead right now. We decided, instead of taking the time off completely, which we could have done and BDN has done in the past, we decided to have some fun and do some shows that are outside of the normal pattern and talk about random topics. Like, we did one show last week, I think, about musicals, for example, and musical TV shows and episodes and so on, and movies and all of that. We've done shows about futures, like, is it Star Trek? Is it The Expanse? Is it Star Wars? We even missed a couple that we could have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We've done some really fun stuff, and also on the Mac show, if you switch over to that feed, there are some also fun topics where we talked about, like, what can you do to, like, for example, last week, what can you do to prolong the life of your devices? And I would say, independent of whether it's an Apple device or not, we talked about all kinds of devices, actually. It said, like, I don't know, whether it's your Mac or PC, or whether it's your phone, or your headphones, like, all of that. Like, how can you make sure that the stuff lasts as long as you want it to last, or as you need it to last, in some cases? It's been a fun show, and we're continuing that. And Ben is saying Babylon 5. Yes, that was one of the ones that we forgot about.
Yep, Babylon 5, Orville, Futurama.
Yeah, we have a whole follow-up show to talk about. This year, maybe next year, but it will happen.
Yeah. So today's topic is worst tech devices of all time.
Yeah. Not necessarily that we've owned them or bought them or even ever seen them in person, but we know about them, and in our opinions, they're the worst devices. Like, any device, any tech device, it doesn't really matter whether it's a phone, a tablet, a whatever, like
a service,
a controller for a device, or I don't know. And there are a couple that come to mind.
Ben in the chat is saying he would make a joke about the Zune being on the list, but it was actually good. And Ben, I respect your opinion and lovingly disagree.
Me too.
But it's actually not on my list.
It is actually on my list.
Okay, well, there we go. This is Patrice, this is how we balance each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
first
what's
thing
on your list, Jeff?
Yeah. First thing on my list is actually a Microsoft product, and it's the Microsoft Kin.
What was that even? I don't even remember what it was.
Okay.
That's how bad it was.
That's how bad it was. Okay, so Microsoft decided that what they wanted to do was get on the wave of smart communication devices and the whole social media thing. And so they created the Kin, which was you know, like a little smartphone thing where the screen would slide up and then you had a little chiclet keyboard and then you could type on the keyboard and use it as your social media device. And it went over so well that it was on the market for what, like 10 days?
Mm-hmm. if at all, like. Yeah, it's, as I said, I don't even remember it at all. Like, completely, and I'm pretty sure I've heard of it, but like, it was that bad that I completely removed it, erased it from my brain. Never happened.
Totally.
Which is probably what Microsoft wants us to do, to be fair.
And yet, here I am bringing it up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, I use the Kin as a measurement for how long failed products are on the market. So, you know, for something that lasts a month would basically be three Kins. It lasted three Kins.
There are some products that have like a couple thousand Kins.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I'll pick something from my list, and there are a couple. I would say, and I don't remember the exact brand name, but there was a line in, let's say, 2004 or 2005. There was a line of HP Compaq, because they had acquired Compaq, business laptops. I don't remember them exactly which one I had, but they basically, I mean, they were overheating all the time. The battery life was like 15 minutes. No, I'm kidding. It was like 2 hours, I think. 2 hours, best case scenario, 15 minutes if you actually used it. And it everything broke on it. Like, it was like being very careful with it. I mean, I was a student. Like, I didn't have the money to buy something else, so I nannied it. Like, the power port broke. The logic board had micro factors or something, and it wasn't working properly. The case completely disintegrated. Like, the plastics, with cheap plastic, started falling off after 6 months. I had multiple warranty repairs, and ultimately, because they're not Apple, they completely flat out refused to do anything. They're like, no, it's not our problem. And then I bought a Mac. So, Ben says single-handedly brought him back to the Mac. It brought me to the Mac, because I was like, okay, like I'm done with this. I'm not dealing with this again. It was acquired, and you would have thought that because Compaq actually had a pretty good name and a good reputation for solid devices that lasted quite a long time, that you could literally, whatever, play football with, or like throw them out of probably the space station and it would fall down to Earth and still survive. Like, they were basically indestructible.
Mm-hmm.
And HP, I don't know what they did. They probably just slapped the name on something and called it a Compaq, and that was it. And that definitely did not fly. So,
Patrice, I do remember those laptops. I can't remember what the model names were.
Mm-hmm,
so while you were talking, I did a quick Google search to see if I could find them. And what I have found is that for quite a while now, HP is rated as among the worst laptop makers around. Like,
how surprising.
there is a stunning amount of hate going on for years with HP laptops.
And I mean, so I would say for a very generic laptop, I mean, let's face it, what is a PC laptop for the most part? There are some exceptions like the Alienwares and some gaming laptops and so on that are a little bit more, but most of them are standard Intel parts slammed together in a more or less standard case with a display that they have from someone else, and then they put their brand name on it, and that's it. Right? That's mostly it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there are some exceptions and some manufacturers that do some cool stuff, and I'm definitely, like, I think MSI, for example, is one. They're actually doing some interesting Alienware, obviously. But the, like, in that market, to do such a bad job is actually quite hard.
Yeah, well,
I remember.
So
like
kudos
my,
to them yeah. for going above and beyond.
Yeah. I remember my uncle soldered a new power, like a power port, like outlet, to the logic board. And okay. We couldn't get the exact model that they used, because that was some custom HP thing, because of course. So like he tried his best, and it kind of worked for like a month, and then it broke again. So that wasn't his fault, but he tried, like he tried to fix it, because I said, student, I couldn't afford something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, after a year and a half, the HP, about a year and 9 months, I had a Mac. So.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Ben is saying HP managed to use all custom parts in an ATX case, so you couldn't fix it all yourself. Yeah, that's it.
Well done.
So that's definitely on my list for the worst. Actually, both the worst products ever and the worst products that I've owned.
Okay, so double points for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Patrice, the next thing that's on my list, you may have forgotten about as well as a mental block to protect yourself. Do you remember Sony and BMG's copy protection for CDs that would
rootkit
your computer?
I do. I even had, there was it one DVD that they had? It was a DVD. One DVD, I think, they released. Was it some, was it Mr. and Mrs. Smith? Might have been. And I owned that, actually. I had that. But luckily for me, I was on Linux and it didn't work. The rootkit didn't work.
Lucky for you.
Yeah, it's like, I remember that. And I was like, wow, that was bad.
that was really bad. And it created so many security issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it screwed up so many computers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was bad enough that they tried to put in a copy protection rootkit. But they also did it so badly, like the implementation was so bad that it even like just bricked or slash made machines completely unusable.
Yeah, yeah. And it was so bad that there were class action lawsuits against Sony. There were government investigations into what they were doing. I mean, it was...
They recalled all the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had to.
Yeah, it was straight up a dumpster fire. And I like what Ben says. Sony, come for the Spider-Man, leave with the virus.
Yeah. Yeah. And what did it help? Nothing. Because people still copied it. People figured out ways around it. It just straight up didn't work.
Yes. Okay, that reminded me of another thing Sony did. You remember when they would do the thing where you would buy the DVD? This might have actually been part of this whole thing. And then it included a code for a digital copy.
Oh,
but it
yeah.
used their own proprietary player thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was that called? Blue Box?
Yeah, there was a color involved in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think it was Blue Box.
Yeah.
Almost certain.
Okay. I
Yeah,
was
and then
thinking
they shut
purple for
down the
the color,
server,
but
right?
you know,
Yeah.
blue, purple, they're
Yeah.
pretty
I think
related.
so. I mean, I might misremembering. Oh, maybe it was ultraviolet. Yeah, that could also be.
Ultraviolet.
Yeah, it could be. I think Blue Box was the service, the other service you could redeem them in, I think.
Yes.
At some point. Yeah, but they shut down the servers, right? The decryption servers, basically, so you couldn't even watch anything that you had bought before. And I mean, you had still
Right.
had the Blu-ray, maybe.
And yeah, and if you had a Mac, you couldn't use it, luckily. So they would give you an iTunes code. But most of the time, you were given an iTunes code that wasn't valid. So to actually get something you could play on a Mac, then you had to reach out to the customer support and fight with them to get a code so that you could get the Mac compatible version.
Exactly. I mean, Ben is saying they allowed everything to transfer to Fandango. That's true. Yeah, there was that. But as I said, I remember the story about, oh, we're shutting this down, and basically, even if you download it, it will not play anymore because of our proprietary copyright stuff, which is exactly what everybody has been saying about all the crazy copyright stuff. Like, if the server goes away or the whatever the decryption thing stops working, then what now? You've bought something that you can't even consume.
Which
Yeah. I
really
mean,
sucks.
in times of streaming services, that sounds very much antiquated. Because, I mean, nowadays you can watch almost anything you want, but it also can go away anytime you want, and you can't do anything about it because you don't own it. But the thing is, for most things, if it goes away, it simply pops up somewhere else. It's like, okay, it moves from whatever. It moves from Netflix to Hulu, or from Hulu to Paramount Plus, or whatever, like to Disney. Like, movies anywhere. Oh yeah, I remember that. I think I still have that. Now
It's
that you mention it.
still on my Apple TV.
Yeah. I think I still
And
have that.
I haven't actually launched Movies Anywhere recently, but you know, when I do, it's like, oh yeah, I forgot about this thing from that other service that apparently I still
I
have
haven't
access
even
to.
bought anything recently, like last 5, 7 years, so that there would be anything interesting in that service.
Yeah, well, there was a time when Movies Anywhere was glorious because we did have so much turmoil with the services that we were buying content from that it was great to have that one location where everything could feed into.
And if you bought it in one service, it would show up on the other. You know, you bought it on Amazon and it was in iTunes, or you bought it in iTunes and it was in, what was the other service? There was a third service. I don't remember. Amazon, iTunes, and there was another one.
Well, it's gonna bug me until I remember.
Probably Ben knows. But yeah, I mean, that's the point. It was movies anyway. You buy it once and you have it in all services, and you don't even have to think about it. It's like whatever you have open, if you're like, oh, I want to watch this movie, iTunes, Amazon, oh, Vudu. Yeah, Vudu and
Voodoo.
Google. Vudu and Google Play and Xbox. I mean, Xbox Movies was probably a recent addition. Yeah, you're right. And then you don't have to, like, if you're on Amazon and you say, I want to watch this movie and I bought it on iTunes, doesn't matter. It's there. Like, as long as Amazon has it, it's there.
Yeah, that was great.
I mean, it still is.
Yeah, I'm sure if I open it on my Apple TV today, I will be
And
happy
so.
it's there, even though I haven't used it in I don't know how
Yeah.
long.
I have another one on my list. One that was literally fire. The Galaxy Note. What was it? Galaxy Note 7, I think?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the
Yeah,
seven.
6 or 7. I don't remember. Like, but I mean, it gets really bad when, like, the announcements, like on board of a flight, are basically, Here are the emergency exits, and by the way, if you have a Galaxy Note, you're literally not allowed to use it at all, and if it catches fire, then you have a problem. Or in some cases, even you're not even allowed to board a plane with that device, even if it's turned off.
Literally. Right.
Yeah, that's the point when it's really, really, really bad. When like airlines and governments are basically banning you from even using the device or even traveling with the device. It was the Note 7. Okay, like that was an epic fail. And I mean, you see that I think Samsung tried for a little while to still have a Note line, but I think they realized that the name was simply tainted and not worth it.
Yeah.
So they just completely killed the Note brand and just moved on. I mean, it doesn't matter because, I mean, they can put out a Note device that's not a Note device. Now it's called something else and it's still, like, whatever. It's a Galaxy Pad. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, still works.
Yeah. They really did a scorched earth approach with the Note.
Yeah.
Brand.
And scorched earth, literally. And the device has a technical flaw like this. I mean, turns out it was their fault. I mean, it's always to some extent the manufacturer's fault because they should have done something to prevent it, but it can still happen. I mean, there have been some minimal numbers of iPhones that caught fire. It does happen. The thing is that they try to cover it up and try to fix it and then not really fix it and all of that, and that was the problem.
And then we're watching videos on YouTube of people's offices on fire, their cars engulfed in flames because the phone exploded in their car.
Exactly.
Reports about people getting burned because the phone caught on fire in their pocket.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, all of that. As I said, they recalled it, tried to said they fixed it, and then it turns out they didn't really.
No, they didn't.
I mean, that is even worse. Like, I mean, yes, that was probably a rush job to have something ready, but I would say at that point, you already have a problem. You should make damn sure that this does not happen. Like, if the phone has any other problem, okay. But the thing that you recalled it for should not happen again, because then there's something wrong.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ben is saying he worked in worked at Geek Squad at the time. And Ben, my question is, did you lose eyebrows at any point during your tenure at Geek Squad thanks to a Galaxy Note? Yeah.
We had some really nice campfires. Like, throw it in one of those like oil barrels and like have a nice campfire, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, Ben says he was not dying for someone's phone. And that, you know, that's a good call.
That's a good call. Probably wasn't paid enough for that anyway. So.
Right. Yeah. Oh my God, the Galaxy Note 7. That was that's awesome.
That was epic fail and epic fail squared because, as I said, they even tried to fix it and couldn't. Yeah, and then they just, I mean, that was the right call. Abandon it, abandon the brand, don't even try. People still remember it to this day.
Mm-hmm.
People still talk about, when you mention the Note, that's the thing that comes up. So, like, I mean, maybe in 10, 15 years they can bring back the brand that people might have forgotten, but at this point, why? Just invent a new brand.
Right.
They have the money for it. They have the people for it. They do that all the time. I mean, they reinvent like 15,000 different phones all the time. So what's one more line?
Right. Yeah. Just change the name. Like, you know, like was it US West changed their name to CenturyLink?
Oh, yeah.
Comcast changing to Xfinity?
Yeah. What was it? Was Circular switching to AT&T?
Singular.
Singular, not Circular. Yeah, but, something with a C.
But Singular merged with AT&T.
Yeah, but it kind of rebranded as AT&T.
Yeah. MediaCom switching to Still Sucks. Well played, Ben.
Well played.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. Yeah.
All right. I have another one that I never got to actually see in person, but I do remember it. And it's the BlackBerry Playbook. Actually, did anyone see the BlackBerry Playbook in person? I don't recall if it ever really
Maybe
there
was a CES announcement that never made it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there were like maybe some prototype units that people got to touch, but yeah. Crackberry Kevin. That's a name that I'd forgotten about.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Ben is our technology Wikipedia, so thanks for being here today.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that was their tablet, right? The tablet with their own tablet OS that never went anywhere, and then I think they completely abandoned that idea and went to Android, and I don't even know where they are today, but basically probably still supporting the five people that still use a BlackBerry, right?
Yeah, I guess. I remember when they were really promoting this as they were building up to the Knot launch. And I was getting press releases at the time, and there were media briefings, and there was all this stuff, and it was really getting hyped up. And as this progressed, we started asking more questions about, well, where is it? When can we see one? Who has actually touched this? Do we know anyone personally that's touched this device, and not, oh, I know a guy who knows a guy sort of thing? And it became more evident as time went on that this was not going to be a successful product.
According to Wikipedia, they sold 2.5 million of those. To whom? For what? I don't know. Did they put them like to prop up their chair? So what did they do?
Yeah, that's a good question. My guess is that if they say they sold that many, they're probably using the clever math that companies would sometimes do, you know, where stuff that was pushed out to channel partners was called sales.
Mm-hmm. Even if they bought it back later, it's still sold.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So my guess is that it's more about did they get sales for channel partners, which doesn't even mean that those channel partners actually received product. It could be purchase orders for products.
Okay. That they never shipped.
That never shipped.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, 2.5 million is a lot for that, but you never know.
Yeah, but you know, if it's BlackBerry, a product that on paper, there's no revenue coming in. I mean, it doesn't matter how many say you sold.
Yeah, that's true. I said, and I mean, back then, that was like 2011, 10, something like that. 11 probably after the iPad. 12, something like that. I mean, back then, BlackBerry was still a household name. It was dying. And I think a lot of people knew it, but it was still somewhat relevant, at least.
It was, and yes, there were a lot of discussions that I remember being part of, where people were talking about how this was a Hail Mary type effort on BlackBerry's part to reinvigorate their name and remain relevant.
I mean, good for them. Good on them for trying. But didn't work.
No.
Didn't
work.
I mean, I know BlackBerry still does the QNX stuff for like cars and so on. So I know they're not completely gone, but I don't know what they're doing these days. Are they selling random Android devices that like just in the sea of Android devices?
I thought what they were doing was selling Android devices where the value pitch in it was that it was backed by BlackBerry and BlackBerry services.
Okay.
But that said, I haven't seen any BlackBerry products out in the wild.
Anyway, they're not even
years.
On any list where it lists the whatever top manufacturers for smartphones, whatever. BlackBerry doesn't show up. It's somewhere under other, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sad story for BlackBerry. I said they still have QNX, so maybe that's worth it.
Yeah.
I have, let's see. Let's go with this one. I think it was the PS4. The one with the red ring of death?
That was Xbox.
Oh, was it the Xbox? Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
That's how good I am with
Xbox
remembering
360.
Products. Okay, it was the 360. So, in my book, that is a fail. If your hardware fails in a fashion that people like me who don't own... I mean, I don't even remember which device it was exactly. But, like, a device that people like me who don't own any gaming console, never owned one, never plan on owning one, don't play games basically at all. And I remember at least that red ring of death is a thing and that it broke it. I don't think other than some DIY fixes that some people came up with that may or may not work, which I think included putting your device in the oven for at like low temperatures for a couple hours.
You know, if it's already toast, why not literally toast it?
Yeah, there's apparently also a green ring of death. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, that was before the 360.
Yeah, so
and
I think that is a fail issue. Yeah, that is an epic fail.
Red ring of death was a huge, huge epic fail.
And if you think about, I mean, what I know about Xbox, that there these days with the Xbox One especially, pretty successful. I mean, there's right now, I think, a bit of a fight between the PS5, I think still bigger, and the Xbox. But I, from what I hear from people, like friends of mine that are very much into gaming, it's a toss-up between the two for them. Mm-hmm. It comes more down to... which titles are where and which ones are they interested in. And they usually buy at some point both because they can't make a decision. So for the company that is very relevant today, is Microsoft, that's a major fail.
Mm-hmm.
Like having a device fail so spectacularly, that's definitely a really, really bad product. It shouldn't have happened.
Yep, it should not have happened at all.
Yeah. I mean, accidents can happen, but this was on my list for really bad devices.
Yeah, this was a product design fail.
Mm-hmm.
And and it was a later model that truly fixed it.
Yeah.
So for people that were dealing with the Red Ring of Death, you know, Microsoft was working to fix the problem for them, but realistically, to feel comfortable that they had a device that wasn't going to red ring on them ever again, they had to wait for a newer model to come out.
Yeah, I mean, to Microsoft's credit, they tried their best, not in the Samsung way, and they actually came out with a product that worked and was successful and is even more successful now with the next generation. So. I would say it worked out for them, and I think Samsung, that's how you handle it. I mean, people still remember it, but nobody says, oh, I'm not buying an Xbox because, I don't know, they break.
Right, yeah. Microsoft has the problem of not being able to make enough product.
Yeah, which is a luxury problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben says he's waiting for Apple Game and that he's been waiting 20 years for that.
There's a product on my list that is close to 30 years old from Apple.
I'm pretty sure I have a feeling I know which one that is.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
But let's talk about yours, Jeff. What do you have?
All right. This one turned into a product that you could walk into a store and just ask for it, and they would hand it to you for free just to get rid of it. And it was the Q-Cat. So the idea was you have this little handheld scanner, this little wand, almost looks like a sex toy, it plugs into your computer, and then print magazines would have these like barcodes in them. And they were QCAT barcodes. So if you wanted to learn more about a product or get more information about an article, whatever it was, then you would take the QCAT and scan the barcode. And then that would open up a web page or whatever on your computer. And the problem, well, there's so many problems.
I mean, when you said, like, when you sent the link and said, like, talked about sex toys, yeah, it looks like a vibrator. Like, if it purrs, I would buy it.
Unfortunately, there were no moving parts in it.
Too bad.
If there were, you know, someone would have hacked it to do that.
Oh, 100%.
What people ended up doing, because they could just walk into it. Like, I would walk into Radio Shack and say, do you have any QCATs? And they would just hand me one and say, there you go. And that was transaction. There was no money. So I had a couple of them because, there were websites where people were talking about how you could hack them and turn them into like portable document scanners.
Okay.
And stuff, which I thought was kind of interesting. So if there had been a moving part in there that they could make the device actually vibrate, you know, one of the hacks would have been sex toy.
Yes. They even invented their own barcode that was tilted and so on. Wow. Like, this is weird. I never heard of this. This is interesting.
I don't think it was ever available outside the United States, and it was a poorly conceived and poorly executed product and platform.
I mean, when was that? What time? What year?
That would have been like late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
So
wireless technology was already a thing by then, so.
Yeah, and I do know people that would go in to stores and pick one of these up for free because they wanted the serial to USB adapter that shipped with it because they wanted this to work for Apple product users, and the USB port was at that point predominantly on Macs.
Yeah.
And buying a serial to USB adapter, like in a store, would cost you several dollars. They cost a lot more than you would expect them to back then. And so people would get a QCAT, throw out the QCAT, and keep the serial to USB adapter.
That's funny. Yeah, in it says here, in 2005, a liquidator offered 2 million QCATs for sale at 30 cents each, but you had to buy them in quantities of 500,000.
That's funny. And
wow.
Yeah, and why would you do that when there were probably still stores that had boxes of them in back and would give you a fistful for free?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nowadays, apparently, you can still find them on eBay, at least according to Wikipedia. And, you know, when it's on the internet, it must be true.
There you go.
You can buy them on eBay. So if someone wants a QCAT and wants to scan really weird QR codes or hack them, there's a device for that.
Yep.
There's also better investments, but all right, feel free.
But, you know, who are we to judge? Yeah, Ben wants to know if this is like a proto Q code. Yeah, kind of.
It is. Yeah. It's actually, it mentions that somewhere here on Wikipedia.
Oh, it does?
That it was That it was kind of the prototype. But I mean, there were like security issues and like the whole gamut. Like, it's quite funny. there were some really big backers for such a really bad idea.
Yeah. And and now that I'm scanning through the Wikipedia page, cost Radio Shack $6.50 to manufacture one of these.
Hmm.
And
they gave them away.
People like me were going into Radio Shack and they were just giving them away for free to get them out of the stores.
Yeah.
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 They're out of business.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, they probably cost them more to have on the shelf than to just give it away.
I'm sure.
Like, nobody would have probably taken them if they had to pay for them, even if it was a couple dollars. Like, if it was $10, I think nobody would bought them. So they were like, okay, we either have them on the shelf, we recycle them, or we give them away. So.
Yes. And salt in the wound for QCAT. I was one of the people that was aware of the product and actually had the device. And I never, ever saw a QCAT barcode in the wild, yeah. Ever.
By the way, they're called Q codes.
Q codes. Okay, so mm-hmm. I never saw a Q code for a QCAT in the wild.
Yeah. On my list, let's talk about, because we talked about the gaming devices. I've never owned it. I don't know very much about it, but from what I've heard, it was an epic fail, and that is the Pippin.
See, I knew that was on your list.
Yeah, like it just came to mind immediately. And I said, other than Wikipedia articles and people talking about them, that was way before my time. But from what I've heard, it was an epic fail. Like, nobody wanted it. It didn't work. It was a really bad device. I don't think it ever really shipped, right?
It shipped, I believe, in small quantities in Japan.
Yeah.
And
so not globally widely available, what you would expect from even Apple in the 90s. Like,
yes. And and they partnered with Bandai, as mm-hmm. I recall. And now I'm looking at the Wikipedia article. Okay, yes, they partnered with Bandai for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea was almost ahead of its time in some sense. I mean, it was a gaming console, right? More or less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a gaming and media console. And I mean, as I said, I don't know the exact timelines of like Xbox and Nintendo and all of them. I know that the old school Nintendos with cables and so on, they existed before that, definitely. But yeah, I mean, it was still, I would say, to some extent ahead of its time, but it just wasn't good.
Yeah. I think the problem isn't so much that it wasn't good. It's that it was way too early.
It was way too early. And I think it came also at a time when Apple was in general struggling with a lot of things and doing too many things and not doing any of them at all that well. And it just, yeah. They couldn't make it work and then killed it.
Yep. Yep. Ben is saying it was ahead of its time. Ben, at this point, you're like a part of the show. You're our remote panel member, since you're actually not on camera.
You should have
with
joined.
Us. Yeah.
You totally should have joined.
So, yeah, Pippin. I've actually never seen a Pippin other than photos. I would love to at some point. But yeah. Oh, all right, Ben.
We'll get
just you
so
you know, you're now committed. One of us. One of us.
I think I still have your email address. I'll forward that. This is great podcasting, by the way. We're talking to the chat, but okay.
Yeah,
the Pippin. Like I said, I think it was a combination of not knowing what it was, really, or what it could be, being a little bit too early, not executing it particularly well, and then doing it at a time where Apple was anyway struggling. And they're, honestly, they're like, people were, I mean, they were talking about the beleaguered giant. At, I think at that point, I mean, 1996, that's, yeah, that's the time. So I don't think people had a lot of trust in Apple going anywhere, to be honest. And then why would you invest in a device like this from a consumer perspective?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So definitely on the list of, in my opinion, worst products. Maybe not for the product itself, but for like everything that also happened around it. It was just very badly timed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. And I do wonder, though, what would Apple look like today if Pippin had been a successful platform?
Would there be Nintendo?
Yeah. Well, I mean, would Apple be more of a gaming console company today?
Would gaming be, I mean, I'm assuming that they kept the Mac lines and so on, and they otherwise continued more or less as today. I would say the Mac would probably be much more of a gaming marketplace than it is. To be fair, the iPhone is a massive gaming marketplace. That's the two. I mean, because they, I mean, it's not the hardcore gamers that do Twitch streams and game all day and are really into it. It's the casual gamers that do it on whatever, wherever they are, and are really into that. But it's massive. Like, it's money and user numbers and so on, from what I'm hearing. It's really big. It's one of the biggest platforms. Mobile platforms, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's... So, I mean, in a sense, Apple did it, just not the way I think anybody thought.
Yes.
And more or less accidental.
Far more towards the accidental than less accidental. That was actually really difficult for me to say. That was a hard sentence. Yeah. So, yeah, it could have been a success. Maybe. And okay, so many cool failed products. What's cool and is not failed, though, is TSO Host. And what's great about TSO Host, despite, or in addition to all the great services that they offer to their customers, is that they're here supporting the British Tech Network. And what they are doing is leveraging what they do best, which is bandwidth and server space, and helping us by giving us those things. So without TSO Host, we would not be able to live stream shows to you. And without TSO Host, we would not have the server space we need to host the website and all of the recordings for the shows on the British Tech Network, so that people can go and watch and listen to the episodes that they want to over and over at their leisure. So TSO Host is fantastic because they are literally giving us what we need to be here. And without them, we wouldn't be doing shows. So thank you to TSO Host for that. Now, what they're asking of us is that we just go out on social media and give them a little bit of love and thank them for supporting the British Tech Network. That's super easy to do, and it's good karma for everyone. So, you know, go do it. And if it turns out that you need to buy a domain or you need some hosting services, hit them up and use the discount code BTN20, and you'll get a discount on all of their services. So thank you to TSO Hosts for being here to support the British Tech Network. You rock. And also what rocks is the fact that I can rely on you, Patrice, to have my back and tell people where the chat is, since I clearly have some sort of defect that prevents me from being able to do that competently on a regular basis.
Yeah, and that is super easy, because if you want to talk to us, like Ben is doing right now, and like there's usually Bob Beach and there's some other people, it's super easy to join us. And you do that while we're live streaming, which happens every Thursday at 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, also Fridays at 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, so tomorrow, another summer fun edition. And when we do that, when we live stream, you just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and talk to us live. And we post links and we have fun and we answer to things and read things and so on. Like, it's a whole thing. But let's say you're listening to this in your favorite podcast player of choice after the fact, which is what podcasts are for. And I do that all the time. I listen to a gazillion podcasts all the time. There's still a way to get to all the links and the things we said. Like, you can read the entire chat transcript, everything that was said, like every little thing, nothing is lost. The only thing you can't do is talk to us live, because that's after the fact, obviously. We're not there. And in order to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up, and you select today's date, which is the 11th of August, 2022. And then you will see everything we've talked about.
Yes. And Patrice, thank you for being so patient with me and doing that, like, basically every episode when I ask, and doing it without even complaining. You rock.
Oh, I love doing it. Like, it's a lot of fun. And I love talking to people and letting them know how awesome our chat is.
Awesome. Well, you rock. And... man, we have so many more failed products we could talk about. So I think we have an opportunity for a follow-up episode.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and yeah. I'm pretty sure if we have other people, like Ben, for example, in next time, then they will have completely different lists, because that's how people roll. I'm pretty sure some other people have some other cool tech fails that we've completely blocked out or never even heard of.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so. And it's only fair that since I've opened up old wounds for you, Patrice.
Oh yeah.
by mentioning products that you had forgotten about. Mm-hmm. At some point, someone needs to be bringing up products that are pain points for me that I'd forgotten about. That's just fair. Yeah. All right. Well, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I am here every week on the big show on Thursdays and also on the Mac show on Fridays. Tomorrow, I guess I'm going to be hosting, because Jeff has unfortunately some bills that have to get paid. So he has to do some actual work. Not that this isn't work, but it's also a lot of fun. But sometimes you have to do things that...
for me.
Not a problem. Yeah, sometimes you have to do things that pay the bills, and that's just how life is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes this adult. Yeah, that's why we are adults, because we have to deal with it. So I'm there. I'm also, like, everything I'm doing, like all the social media links, the projects I'm doing, the podcasts I'm doing. If you want to buy me a coffee to support me, all of those links you can find on thepatrice.com. There's only one. And if you want to listen to really interesting people talk about food-related stories and memories and just everything that goes with that, I have a podcast, a non-tech podcast, called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
And it's a great show. And it was fun to be
It's on. A lot. It's a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun to talk to different people. Like, I've had anything from people like you who podcast all the time to people who would never even heard of a podcast or been on a podcast. I have people that enjoy food very, very much, like you and me. And people that, at least according to them, don't care about food at all. Really interesting stories. And everybody eats and everybody has a story. And that's what I'm trying to get to.
So check out the show. Yeah. Let's see. Where can people find me? Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut on both. YouTube.com/JayGamut for occasional videos. Let's see. Most Tuesday evenings on Mac Voices Live. Here on Thursdays on The Big Show, most Thursday evenings on In Touch with iOS, and then Fridays on The Mac Show. And also, Brian Chaffin and I have teamed up again, and we are doing The Context Machine. So be sure and check that out, too. Also, if you happen to be going to WordCamp US, but you don't have a ticket and you want to stay in the loop on what's going on, I have a Slack for that. So send me a DM on Twitter, and I will get you your invite so you can join the San Diego WordCamp US Taco Track Slack. And
such
stay
a cool
in the loop.
Name. And a cool logo.
Thank you. I had a lot of fun making a Taco Track WAPU.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to make sure that I have like some Taco Track stickers when I'm in San Diego. Wow. Okay. Check out the Daily News Show. And if you have been sending in money to keep that show running, thank you so much. You rock. But go and check your PayPal settings and make sure that your monthly support money is still getting processed, because PayPal had another screw up and a lot of people got dropped from that. If we don't have enough money coming in now, this will be the last month for the Daily News Show. But this is an easy fix. Just check your settings. Check out the photo show. Oh.
Yeah. I wanted to say, like, I wanted to speak for the news show. Like, I mean, Kyle is doing such a great job. If you're interested in, let's say, less than 5 minute tech news, that's your show. Like, he brings it to you every morning. He's in the Philippines, so, like, time zone-wise, that works really well for us. Mm-hmm. Because he's up when the U.S. is going to bed, so all the like, tech news from the U.S. have happened. And he gets it done before we get up. So when you get up in the morning, or sometimes a little bit later, because, I mean, obviously, he also, like, he can, like, this is not his full-time gig. He's doing that also on the side, but he's getting paid for it because it's a lot of work. I mean, I've done news myself. It is a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
And he does it 5 days a week. So I highly recommend listening to it, because it's really, really enjoyable. He's a professional speaker. A professional, I don't know, what do you call it? Like, audio something? I don't know. Like, he does, like, voiceovers for TV shows and stuff.
Oh, wow. So, like, he's professional voice talent.
Voice talent. Yeah, that's the name for it. Voice over artist. That's a good name for it. Yes. He's really, I mean, he's really good. And we should pay for it, because it's, like, it's professional work. So, like, highly recommend listening to it. And then even if you can, like, only spare whatever, a dollar, a euro, a pound, I don't know, a zloty, a yen. I don't even know whether they all are equivalent. Probably not, but doesn't matter. Whatever you can spare, give it to us. Give it to him. It all goes to him. Like, it's not for anything else. It's literally for the news show.
Yes. Yeah. Well said. Yes. Hey, thank you again to TSO Host for sponsoring us. Give them some online love. And thanks to everyone that tuned in to watch or listen live. Thanks to everyone that's participating in the live chat today. Ben, you get a shout out because you've been super active in the live chat. So
thank you.
Yeah, so thanks for that. And let's see. Thank you to everyone that watches or listens later. It's great to have all of you in the BTN family. All of you absolutely rock. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow for the Mac Show, and then join us again next week for the Big Show and the Mac Show again. We're still doing summer fun editions, and I can't wait to see what comes out of the shows that we have lined up. So everyone, thanks for being here. Have an awesome weekend, and we will see you next week.